Would you say this with me this morning?
Lord Jesus,
I give you permission to invade my space. I open my heart. Speak to me. Change me. I give you that permission this morning. Father, we bind the powers of darkness today in the name of Jesus. We declare that you are the great God of the universe. We decree that no weapon formed against God's people will prosper in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, you said it would come one way, but it would flee seven ways in your name. And Lord, today those attacks that have come, we come against the principalities and the powers and the rulers and spiritual wickedness in high places. We bind you in this city in the name of Jesus. We bind you out of our minds. We bind you out of our hearts. We bind you out of our homes in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just declare even now, you are welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this place, in our hearts. You are welcome in our homes. You are welcome in our church. Lord, I pray that you would turn us upside down. Lord, that you would motivate us to a new place in you. Lord, we surrender to you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise in the house. I brought a stick today, and Marge said, what you going to do, whip me with it? Pastor Angela really preached a strong word last week on expectation. Let's give her a hand. How many of you are praying for Pastor Eric and baby Eric? Let me see your hands. Amen. Let's continue to do that. One day he'll probably be up here preaching too. So we need to stand strong with them. Amen. I would just like to say a couple of things. One is we need to be careful that we don't become familiar with what God brings to us. I'm saying preaching can become familiar. Prophetic words can become familiar. Because in the Old Testament, as you look, in Jeremiah it says the word of the Lord was not heard very often. So when the word of the Lord came, they were glad to hear it. Many times with us, things happen in our church and they become familiar and we brush them off. But we need to come to that place, because where we're going in 2019 is going to require exuberant praise and adoration, intercession, and getting before God. It's going to require not the status quo anymore. It's going to require us to move to a new place. But you've got to have that willingness. I'd rather doing it willingly than have God to put me through some stuff to get it out of us. So I would say, Lord, I surrender. Amen. Today I want to talk to you a little bit about what do you have in your hand. Exodus 4, 1 through 17 is our scripture. And it says, but Moses protested again. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say, the Lord hadn't appeared to you? Then the Lord asks, what's that in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses replied. Throw it down on the ground, the Lord told him. So Moses threw it down, the staff, and it turned into a snake. Moses jumped back. Then the Lord said to him, reach out and grab its tail. So Moses reached out and grabbed it, and it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. Perform this sign, the Lord told him, that then they will believe that the Lord of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, really has appeared to you. Then the Lord said to Moses, now put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand inside of his cloak. When he took it out, his hand was white as snow, but with a skin disease like leprosy. Now put your hand back in the cloak, the Lord says. So Moses put his hand back in, and when he took it out, it was healthy, just like the rest of his body. The Lord said to Moses, if they do not believe you and are not convinced by the first miraculous signs, they will convince by the second sign. And if they don't believe you or listen to you, even after these two signs, then take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. When you do, the water from the Nile will turn to blood on the ground. But Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh Lord, I am not very good with words. I've never been, and I'm not now. Even though you've spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. Then the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides where the people speak? Or don't hear or don't hear, see or don't see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what you say. But Moses again pleaded, Lord, send anyone else. Lord, send my wife. Send my neighbor. Then the Lord became angry with Moses. All right, he said, what about your brother, Aaron and the Levite? I know he speaks well, and look, he's on his way to meet you now. He will be delighted to see you. Talk to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be both of you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what you're to do. Aaron will be spokesman to the people. He will be your mouthpiece, and you will stand in the place of God for him telling what to say. And take your shepherd's staff with you and let it perform the miraculous signs I have for you. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, that is really mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And Father, even today, we invite you, Father, into this place called Shiloh. We ask you to change us, mold us, move us by your Spirit today in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was driving back from Phoenix last night at 1 o'clock, I thought, where am I going to get a staff to talk about this message? And weeks ago, Travis wanted a knife, so I bought him a knife. And then he went out and he picked this up out of our backyard. So his piece of wood has entered into the anointed zone today. I'm going to ask James if he'll come and join me for a minute. We don't have a lot of instructions in this, but James is going to join me this morning. And he's going to take the staff, and he's going to take it in his hand. He's going to be Moses this morning for us. Now, I want you to understand that Moses was pasturing sheep out in the wilderness. And as he was in the wilderness, all of a sudden something happened. A bush started burning on the other side. Now think about this. What does God have to do sometime to get our attention? I wanted to assure you this morning that in the wilderness, there was probably not very many distractions. So he's out there in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden, the bush starts burning, and Moses said, I better go over and check this thing out. So he went over, began to look, and all of a sudden, the Lord said, Moses, Moses. Now, we've had kids, and both of you know ours and hers. But I can assure you this. When your kids are not doing what you want them to do, you say their first name, you say their middle name, and you may even say their last name. And anything that goes after it. But as Moses was here, the Lord wanted to make sure that he was not distracted in any way. You know what we do in our life? We begin doing things like this. I know that was for them.
Yeah.
That really wasn't for me. So the Lord said, Moses, Moses. Now you got my attention. He said, first of all, he said, here I am. And the Lord said, I want you to understand that the place that you're standing is holy ground. Take off your shoes, but you don't have to do that. But I wanted to tell you in that scripture what begins to happen. Moses had every excuse in the world. The preceding chapter tells us the Lord laid it out for him. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to be with you. When they open their mouths, I'll fill it. I'll do all that. Now, the word tells us that he was stammering and stuttering. Now, I can't imagine how long it took God and him to converse. No, Lord. Do you mean me? Well, we got a chapter of it. It probably took him a whole day. But he says, I'll take care of you. I'll be with you. Even the prophetic word this morning that came, the Lord said, I have not forsaken you where you are. I know what you're going through. But then the Lord said, he said, listen, you know I don't talk good. And then the Lord said to him this, what do you have in your hand? He said, it's a staff. Now, the word tells us that there's different things. Sometimes the scripture interchangeably says rod and staff. The shepherd's staff normally had a hook on it. This one was basically a walking staff. Moses said, I've got a staff. He said, the Lord said, what he recognized as a staff wasn't what God saw. What he saw as a staff in verse 17 became the staff of God. It was transformed from man's staff to God's staff. Moses may have been standing there and said, man, this staff that I got, all this got is stammering, disappointment, failure. But God said, this staff that is in your hand represents my authority, the Spirit of God, and the pastor that is within you that is already shepherding over people. When God appeared to Moses, he said, "You're standing on holy ground." Every one of us need a rhema word in our life where God would come. But I asked you this morning, what do you have in your hand? Moses saw just a staff. I guarantee you that every day he got up, that staff was probably laying by his bed. It became familiar to him. It was just a staff. But to God, it recognized the Spirit of God that was abiding with Moses. It was talking about the authority that God has placed in his life. But sometimes we fail to recognize the very thing that we have in our hands because we have become so familiar with it that it's just a staff. It's just the pastor. It's just the prophet. It's just. But God wants us to be elevated to see things a little bit differently today. We got to move beyond the status quo. Moses saw just a staff. God saw the future, the power, the authority, the rulership of God, and the deliverance out of Egypt and to the promised land. I don't care what your Egypt looks like today. God's going to bring you into the promised land because that's what's before you today. Because he's given you the authority to walk it out, walk it on through, because what he's placed in your hand is greater today than anything you've ever had in your hand. I told you already that later on in that chapter, it was recognized as the authority and the staff of God. You see, you may be faced with just what you have in your hand may look like disappointments. May look like your own failures in your life. It may look like circumstances out of control. And I know many of us have had sickness in our own life, surgeries and cancers and things that you can't control. But that's not the staff that God gave you. Financial situations. See, Peace University, you can get involved right there and we can bring you right on in. Because you don't have to remain where you are, but you can move on. Then you may have children that just want. Now, you know what I mean. You can fill in that blank. They won't do what you say. They won't go where you want. They won't clean up their room. And the list could go on and on. But how does God see it? You see, our hands become an extension of who we are. Think about that. Look at your hands. None of us have hands that are alike. Now, I know I've got two ladies in the house, so they all come out with different nails, different colors, and then they compare them, and they want to make sure everybody likes what they got. And then on our hands, if you look at your fingers, God created us so uniquely that every one of us have a fingerprint that is different. People used to look at me and say, "Man, you got short, stubby hands. I don't know what, you must be a carpenter." I said, "Well, that was my father." Some of us have hands that are very smooth. Let me tell you, when we hug and shake hands and all that, we feel it all. Because if you're a laborer, and if you work hard without gloves, your hands become calloused. But yet, I want to move on to a different aspect of it. There's two type of hands. There's one that's open, and there's one that's closed. Now, the closed hand says that I can do this myself. But it means that you're stagnated right where you are. You're saying, "I'm setting a barrier. I don't want you moving any closer in." You are, by definition, by having your hands closed, You're saying, I'm establishing my limits. I'm going to be defensive about you. I'm guarded and I am defiant. You know, many times Pastor Eric does this too, shake your hands at the enemy and say, you're not going to do that anymore. Many times we are doing that to our neighbors and our Christian brothers and sisters, and sometimes we're even becoming defiant to God. And that closes the door. Open hands signify, and many times we stand with hands raised and lifted to God. Lord, I need you. And it may not be until the time that you're in a crisis, but I guarantee you, your hands are outstretched to heaven, wanting all that heaven got. Open hands means I freely give and I freely receive. We've got to be postured to where we get away from closing our hands and being open to those things that God wants to give us and provide to us. Now, when I'm talking about the open hand and close, that means both to God and to man. We do it on both levels. Many of you will remember Corrie Ten Boom. And by doing what I'm going to do, I probably date myself. But I really loved, and she's very popular for The Hiding Place with her sister. And she talked a lot about a glove. And with her example of the glove, we saw this. Corrie, in her own way, would say, with this glove, you can do nothing. But God, when you allow the Holy Spirit to come alongside, then He begins to fill it up. Every finger, all the way to the core, until you're overflowed with the presence and the power of God in your life. Not anymore are you this floppy little glove going around. But now you are filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And when He empowers you, He releases in you all the giftings, all the anointings, all the offices that He has for you to walk into. But we've got to accept it and say, God, I'm tired of the way it used to be. I'm stepping into my zone. I want your anointing. I want your presence. I want your peace. Without you, I can't do it. I've seen people that are so stagnated. We should be a house full of the presence, the power of God. When people would walk in, that they would be healed by just walking down the aisles. We need to be a house that is full of what God wants us to be. We need to start moving in the fullness of God. We need to determine that 2019 is not going to be like 2018. 2018, I'm glad. I don't know about you, but I tell you, there are some things back there I don't want to face this year. You agree? Let's say amen. Let yesterday be gone. Genesis 19:26, that scripture talks about Lot's wife. And as they was leaving, the word tells us that Lot was walking ahead and she was behind. You're right, she was left behind. Because the word says, she looked back, and when she looked back, she was turned into a pillar of salt. I don't want to be that. You can become hard-hearted. You can become stubborn just because of stuff that happened in 2018. But God's saying, leave that stuff behind you. Let's go into 2019 in a different way. Philippians 3:14 says, Paul says, I press towards the mark. There's some things you're going to have to press through. You may not like what you're having to press through, but you're going to have to press on towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let yesterday be gone. Don't expect yesterday's 2018's blessings to be yours in 2019. I want to give you a message. This is not 2018 anymore. It is now 2019. Don't expect it. That was last year. This is this year. The anointing of last year will not be sufficient at 2019. I assure you that we have entered into a new season and a new day. And in this new season and new day, your anointing from last year is not going to suffice in this year. You've got to get into prayer. You've got to get into the Word. You've got to push closer into God than you've ever pushed before with expectation, because anointing doesn't come because you read a book. Anointing comes because you push into the presence of God and wants everything that He has to pour out on you. And then until you become postured in that and say, Lord, I'm tired of my old self the way I used to be. Would you fill me afresh and anew with your empowerment and with the Holy Spirit in this year? Associations from last year will not work in this year. You may have, no, I'll change it. You will have to break patterns and associations from last year. There are people that you are connected to right now that are holding you back from your divine purposes and what God has for you in your life. And until you break that association, you will not move one iota forward from where you are. Genesis 13, 14 says this, and the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him. Now, listen, they had been running together. But then they separated. And once they separated, I want you to hear what the word of the Lord says. It says, now, lift up your eyes. Now that he's gone, lift up your eyes. All the land that you see all the way around you, it's going to be yours. Not only that, I'm going to extend it to all of your generations that follow you. Now that you've chosen to obey me, now that you have separated yourself from him, I'm going to do what I said I was going to do in your life. I'm saying, when you determine that you're going to break associations that you've had in the past, you're going to be releasing the Spirit of God to come in you in a fresh new way that you've never seen before. All of a sudden, you're going to be able to rise to a new level that you've never been before, because you're coming into 2019. God's calling this new season, new day, new elevation. It's time in this year, unyoke yourself from people that are holding you back. Begin to yoke yourself with people that you see running with God, that want everything that God offers. And those are the people that you begin to run with, and you run with them with all of your might, because you're going to find that the presence of God is going to be all in the midst of that. I want more of him in this year. Isaiah 43 says this, 1 through 4 in the message. But now, God's message, the God who made you in the first place, Jacob, the one who got you started, Israel, don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You're mine. And it goes on to say how he'll protect you. I want to say something to you about this. God is jealous about you. Now, this brings it down to the natural level, because Marge and I have been married about 2 years now. She is mine. February the 14th, I get to prove that, and all you guys better prove it to your girlfriends and wives. That's Valentine's Day. Pastor Joseph really knows how to do this par excellence. So you need, if you want to learn from the best, he's the man. But I assure you in this that Marge is mine. She and I am hers for sure. I'm jealous about that. To the fact that don't you do anything, you will be in big trouble. Things you don't mess with. My wife and my family. You'll get in big trouble real quick. And I'm just saying that in the aspect of God is jealous about us. Because in that scripture, he begins to say, you are mine. Listen, you're so much mine that what I've done is I've already gone to Calvary. I laid down everything that is needed to be appropriated for you. That gives you the fullness of what you need. That redeems you, that restores you, that gives you back the things that you need. That allows the impartation of the Holy Spirit to come in you. That allows you to be filled up to all that He is so that you can be all that He's called you to be. And He's jealous about that. And I think that if there's anything that makes God sad, is to see His people who know the fullness and the power of the Spirit of God and not walking in it. We should be laying hands on the sick according to the Word of God, and they should be recovering. That's the Word of the Lord. Well, so what? You got cancer. I'm really sorry for you. I'll pray for you. Guarantee you, most people don't do it. But if we'll start laying hands on people, anointing them with oil, speaking the word of the Lord over them, I don't care whether it's in the marketplace or it's in this house. When you begin to do that, you will begin to see results. That's why we're having 21 days of prayer and fasting. 21 days will change your course. Psychology tells us that 21 days you can break a cycle. We all need cycles broken in our life. We want the impartation of the Spirit of God to come. I want us to take a brief look at some of the things that 2019 holds. And actions that we need to begin to take in this year. Number one, break complacency and enter into God's presence with new fervor and determination. I could ask you how many of you know the voice of God. And I assure you that if you have not been praying, if you have not been reading the word, you don't know the voice of God. Word says, my sheep know my voice. And they follow me. All of us have done actions in our life that really indicate that we're not following God. But we all need more of God this year, would you not say? Change the atmosphere in your area of influence. Now, we all don't work in the same place. But I guarantee you, if you got a boss that is treating you bad, if you got money situation you need to be changed, if you will begin to speak into the heavenlies, praying in the Holy Ghost, Lord, you know my need. Would you take care of it? That doesn't get it. There's an old term that is used in Pentecostal circles. And this term is called praying through. Now, most of us pray but not through. Now, let me just tell you what praying through is. It's when you start praying, and I like to think of it like grabbing the horns of the altar, and all of a sudden God steps in, and then you know. But most of us pray, and I've shared this in Life in the Spirit class, that I did a survey on pastors in this community at one time, and we found out of more than 300 pastors that the average prayer time of pastors in the city was about 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Now, if I know if that's an indicator, we got trouble in the church. But if we will start praying and have the authority of heaven that God gives us, then we will begin to step into the areas where we have authority and influence. We can begin to speak into the heavenlies, but we speak into the heavenlies because we don't have authority. We only speak out of the natural instinct that we have because we are not under the anointing. We are only under our fleshly being. And when we are empowered by the power of God, all of a sudden, heavens comes to earth. The word says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And until we're willing to kill some of this, get past that, that's when God begins to enter in, empower us, so his kingdom comes. His will be done in my home, in Sierra Vista, in Arizona, in the United States, in the government. There needs to be a shaking that God does because Christians arise in the name of Jesus. We need to pick up our giftings. I love preaching. I preach hard everywhere I go. I don't apologize for it. What God's placed in me is the heart of an evangelist. There are many of you that are sitting right here today, and I'm going to tell you that I'm going to tread some hard waters. But God said, you need to get out of your lethargy. You need to start doing what he's called you to do. And you know what God's already said. This is a time of turnaround for you today. Because you keep pushing forward a little bit and backing off. But God said he's giving you a pastor's heart. But you need to begin to move forward in that. And as you do, he'll release the other things. What begins to happen as we step into what God's given us and the giftings and the anointings, all of a sudden some of the other stuff starts to be healed up. We're still struggling to get things right when God's saying, get back to what I said. We got apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers in this house. And I say what you need to do is, The devil has come against you and all of a sudden has smacked you and you've gotten discouraged and you say, I'm not doing that, forget it. I'm saying today is the day that you need to begin to make a determination that you're going to step back in to what God's already said. Because where he's anointed you, he needs you in that office. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is just not so we can speak in tongues. It's really so that we can be empowered by the power of God to do service beginning right here and all across the world. But until we come to that place and say, Lord, I just want you. I need you. I believe that there is a clarion call going out right now that says that we have to return to our gifts. We have to return to the offices that God has given us and the anointing that God's placed on you. This year, there is going to be a release of harvest. I believe already the harvest angels have been released. There's going to be a suddenly that all of a sudden we're going to look around, we're going to say, where did all those people come from? But I want to assure you, it's not about them coming to this house. It's about you getting out of where you are and beginning to go out to where they are. Because in the season that we're in, the giftings are not just for the church. I assure you that when I step out of Shiloh, I don't become a non-evangelist. When I go into the city, I am an evangelist more than I am in the house. Your giftings are meant to go beyond the house to turn the city upside down so that God can come in a marvelous way. We must be people who are faithful gatherers of the harvest. Go beyond yourself. Go to the streets. Let God's kingdom be established in the earth. This year, I believe, is a time of breakthrough. It's going to take us knocking on heaven's door. Knock, and it'll be given to you. One translation says this, knock and keep on knocking. I assure you that if I only knocked on Marge's door one time, we wouldn't be married today. But when you knock on heaven's door until you see the answer come, then the environment will begin to change where you are. God will step into your situations and turn them upside down, and His glory will come, His kingdom will come, His will be done in your home and in Sierra Vista. We must be in this year. All of us have gone through stuff. Pastors are not without exception. Just because you see us preaching on the platform doesn't mean that we haven't gone through stuff. But we've learned to overcome. Revelations 12:11 says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You see, it's what you say in your mouth that makes the difference. Can we stand together this morning? I asked you this morning, what do you have in your hand? Do you have just a rod, a staff, or do you have that is the anointing of God? What has God given you? He's given you gifts. He's given you anointings. We need every one of you active in where God's placed you. Let's just raise our hands towards heaven a moment. Just begin to express your love for God today. Tell Him how much you love Him. Thank you for saving you. Thank you for redeeming you. Thank you for bringing me through 2018. We declare that he's going to bring us all through 2019. End of this year is going to be better than 2018. Father, I just pray that even now you fill us up to overflowing. In the name of Jesus. Father, give us the rod of authority today. In the name of Jesus. Father, I declare before these people open doors that no man can shut. We break the spirit of accusation and command it broken even now. And Lord, I ask you today, Father, that you would come and that you would move by your healing power. And Lord, you said that your presence would be here to heal. Lord, no man has to lay hands on people, only you. Lord, do what you said. In Jesus' name.